You are listening to the Team Flower Podcast, where we talk about flowers and the people who have dedicated their lives to sharing them with the world. We believe that our work with flowers matters, and we're cheering each of you on. Hi, I'm Janine, and today Kelly is talking with Sarah Campbell of Intrigue Teaches. Sarah has become a leader in the luxury wedding industry, being called upon by a variety of media sources such as NBC, ABC, and Fox, as well as magazines, blogs, and newspapers. Sarah's excitement for weddings and her passion for design is apparent the moment you meet her. She openly shares her talent and knowledge through speaking, workshops, and classes designed specifically for the wedding industry as part of her Intrigue Teaches apprenticeship program. In this episode, Sarah is sharing her journey from event planning to floristry, as well as what it took to step into the luxury wedding realm. We're talking about the hot topic of burnout and the importance of taking a step back to rest and reconfigure. Sarah is also going in depth on the do's and don'ts of using Instagram to build your floral business. You'll hear about the necessity of listening to your audience's needs, pivoting, and using the power of the algorithm, the power of consistency, and being present, and so much more. You'll find it all right here on the Team Flower Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Team Flower, an online support community dedicated to educating, connecting, and empowering flower lovers worldwide. We provide online classes, in-person events, and weekly free resources designed to support you and your journey with flowers. Whether you're a professional florist, a flower farmer, or you just simply love flowers, there's space for you here. Come join the party at teamflower.org.
All right. Welcome to the podcast, Sarah. It's really wonderful to have you here today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I'm so excited to be talking with you for the first time. This is such a treat.
I know. It was so fun to be able to get to just have an opportunity to connect with. That's one of the things I think is really fun about the podcast is I get to meet new friends but everybody who's listening gets to meet each other as well, which is fun.
It's like a little
mini party on Thursdays. Yeah. Love it. Well, tell us just in your own words, you know, we've got the bio and everybody kind of knows where you're coming from, but tell us just in your own words a little bit about yourself and what your journey with flowers has looked like so far.
Oh, sure. It has been such an incredible and unexpected journey. I started actually in the wedding industry as a whole as a wedding planner, and flowers just happened upon me. I kind of got pushed into doing flowers for an event, and that's a whole nother story that takes like a bottle of wine to really talk about. But
loaded.
Once I got my hands into flowers, I was at a time when the economy was changing and adjusting, and I needed to add some additional revenue to my business, to my planning business, and I added flowers, as we see so many planners do. It is almost that natural progression to go from planning to move on to the next step. So as I added flowers, you know, I was looking to maybe bring in another $1,000 or so to my business. And I was so excited about flowers that I talked about it all the time. Mm. I still talk about it all the time, Kelly. Like, flowers are my obsession. Uh-huh. And this talking really turned into networking and growing my business. And within 2 years of adding flowers, I ended up selling my planning firm to focus exclusively on floral design. And I'm a dreamer at heart, so I'm always dreaming up new creations and new designs and new ways to showcase flowers, which meant I needed to work myself into that luxury wedding market. So I knew that in order to create these beautiful over-the-top designs with thousands of flowers, I was going to need to find clients that had thousands of dollars to pay for these flowers. So I really took some time to study and figure out what marketing avenues I could use to take my weddings where they currently were, doing weddings of $500, $300, $3,000, and move into the category that was weddings of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $100,000. Because that's what I needed in order to create the designs that I was dreaming of. And figured out my marketing and figured out my strategies to move myself into that luxury lane, my whole world opened up and it allowed me to create some of my absolute favorite career designs. You know, everything from doing 16-foot walls of flowers to doing the floral piano, which to this day, the first floral piano we ever created is one of my favorite designs. Mm-hmm. Doing suspended installations, you know, all these big floral creations that are essentially art within the wedding world.
That's awesome. I love that. So tell us a little bit about, so you went from doing these, you know, large scale kind of weddings. Do you still do that? You still do them? How many do you do? What does that look like for you?
Well, right now we're on a temporary hiatus. So, and this is a little off subject, but in 2018, we did a national tour where we traveled every single week teaching floral and floral business, floral design. We would fly out on Sundays. We would teach on Monday and Tuesday. We would fly home on Wednesdays. And then with doing weddings, I would be working my weddings into our travel schedule, which means flowers were coming in on Wednesday to get processed. Thursday, I had to be on the design floor. Friday, I was on the design floor. Saturday, I was producing these weddings and then back on a plane on Sunday.
Wow.
And yeah, so in 2018, I really burnt myself out. For the first time in my business, I felt burnt out and I had to make a big change, which we're totally off subject, but this is where it's going.
So sure. Mm-hmm.
I had to make a big change and we temporarily put a hold on all wedding bookings. So I actually took no weddings for 2019 so that I could reconfigure the way my business was adjusting. But as of last week, I got that itch again. You know that like feeling when you just have to have your hands on flowers. You have to have a wedding. You just, when you're in the wedding industry, it calls to you. So we will be opening back up our bookings starting in the next month or so. We're going to open those dates and I will be taking anywhere from 6 to 10 weddings a year. And I'm going to limit it at 6 to 10 because these big weddings, they mm-hmm. take a lot of time and attention and so much more production than doing a $3,000 to $5,000 or even a $10,000
sure.
wedding.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I know this is our topic today is talking about Instagram and we are going to get to that in just a minute, but I think it is really encouraging. Like if you're in a place with your business where you feel burnout and it is something that I feel like is very normal to have happen. If it's actively happening to you, I think that means you've got blood running through your body and dreams in your heart and you're going after making them happen, maybe just, you know, a lot at one time, right? Like everything kind of comes and goes in seasons. And I just think it's really good and important to call out that it's okay to take a break, you know, and it's okay to step back and reconfigure.
Necessary.
Yeah. It is actually a part of the process to step back, to reconfigure, to evaluate, to reflect, to figure out what your next steps forward look like. And rest is really important too. So I hope you're getting lots of that too, Sarah. I know you like to be on the move. So, but hopefully there's a room for a few more, I don't know, trips to sunny places or things
Kelly,
you like to do.
I thought I was immune to burnout. I heard people talking about, even on Instagram, people talk about burnout. I really didn't think it would affect me because I am a hustler. I move, I work. I've always had this drive. So I thought I could just carry through. I was shocked that I hit burnout. Like it was not something I was expecting.
Oh man. Well, that what a nasty surprise.
It was good though. It really showed me how much I really love weddings.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in December I'm like, "Oh my gosh, can I even do this again? I don't even want to look at a peony. Nevertheless, I'll do a whole wedding." And then it took me a couple months really to bounce back. By like early March, I started to feel it again.
Oh, wow. Well, you definitely bounced quick. When I dropped, I dropped hard. I didn't bounce quite that quick, but yeah, we all have such different, I don't know, makeups in our bodies.
That's
and things,
funny.
Yeah.
I thought it took me forever.
Oh, no. Took me much longer.
Well, that's good to hear. That makes
like
me feel
years
better.
To like flowers again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and too, I think there is something, I really love flowers straight from the garden. There's something for me about actually going out and picking it and putting it in an arrangement that to me is like a huge connection point. Like if there isn't something that I've cut and something that I've made, I really have a hard time like understanding what I'm doing. And everybody's different, but that's my like weird
that's
brain
so funny.
Thing. Like if I got all my flowers in a box, they could be completely beautiful luxury blooms, but I would just be like, all right. You know, it's so funny, but that's what's so great about like, you know, each one of us kind of coming together because we all see things so differently. But yeah, when I hit hard, and it wasn't until I started returning back to the garden actually that I was able to kind of pop out of it and start to be really like, oh, wow, look at this interesting thing over here again. Because I was just like, meh. So anyway.
Well, I'm glad you popped back in because you have been doing some amazing things.
Oh, that's
things.
Really kind. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I do love Flower World so very much.
This podcast is brought to you by the Team Flower Wedding Florals Workshop. Join us for a creative retreat in the mountains as we explore my step-by-step system for offering wedding florals. It's wonderful if you're just thinking about starting a flower business, all the way up to being in business for quite a long time. If you want to streamline systems and get started on the right foot, this is the curriculum for you. You'll learn everything that you need to get a floral business up and running, and you'll be ready for your first client or your 100th client. You'll learn mechanics and design for arbors, bouquets, centerpieces, and more while practicing with all the flowers you could dream of. We'll also cover the ins and outs of pricing, consults, contracts, and there's lots of samples. With both online and in-person components, our curriculum is designed to set you up for lasting success in the wedding event and floral market. At this workshop, you'll learn not only to make arrangements, but to read arrangements and critically think about them. Your creativity is going to be encouraged in a safe setting, and you'll receive personalized attention each step of the way. If you're ready for a perspective-shifting, hands-on experience with flowers, you can learn more at teamflower.org/workshop.
Tell us about social media and why you, I know you sort of feel like sometimes that maybe it's a topic that's a little bit misunderstood, and you've done like a lot of studies to try to uncover some stuff. Tell us about that. What it is about that that kind of has struck you and where that has led you, just your curiosity has led you in the process and what you've learned.
Sure. So Instagram, I saw that as a good marketing tool pretty early on. I remember I was driving my daughter to middle school, who, just to like take you back, Whoa. She's now 21 years old. But when I was driving her to middle school, and her and her friend were in the back seat talking about things they were posting on Instagram. And I'm always kind of looking forward to say, okay, this is working in marketing now.
Sure.
What's the next thing that's going to work? Because I know if this is working, like I need that to focus my attention, but I need to have my eye on the next step. So I'm listening to these two girls talk about it. And it took me a little while. It took me 2 years from that initial spark of conversation to actually start using it for my business. What I realized is, you know, we kind of have to look towards who the end users were. And these young girls talking about Instagram for school, that was what they were doing then, which meant they were going to grow into this. And I needed to look forward to that because they essentially are our next version of the brand, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So kind of fast forward. Once I started getting into Instagram, then I'm trying to understand it. And I'm looking and studying, as I always do. You know, before I put anything into practice in my business, I make sure I understand and study it first, so I'm not just trying things willy-nilly. And in my studying of Instagram, I started looking to see what everybody else was doing and essentially trying to just repeat what was being done, copycatting it. And Instagram got really frustrating because I was watching other people have all this incredible success and it was not working for me. This went on for probably 6 months to a year and I got frustrated. I had to figure out a better way. So I essentially just stopped paying attention to everybody. I still follow a bazillion people on Instagram, but I stopped watching and listening, and instead I went to look at what my audience was telling me. So just because everybody else is posting pictures of donuts next to bouquets and they're getting 10,000 hits doesn't mean that I can post donuts and bouquets, because it just doesn't make sense. What does donuts have to do with my brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I would look at each post, and I did it every single day. In fact, to this day, I look at Instagram every day and I look at my algorithms every day, or not my algorithms, my analytics rather. And as I'm looking to see how my audience is responding, I started to build a kind of group of categories that this is what my audience wants to see. And once I understood what my audience wanted to look at, then I was able to build a regular posting schedule that really spoke to the audience that I was connecting with. So in the beginning of my business, my audience was my bride. And you can even scroll back. If you scroll back about a year, 2 years back, you'll see where my voice and my focus kind of changed a little bit. So at first, I wanted to attract the brides. And I wanted to make sure that my feed spoke to that dreamy-eyed bride and groom that is planning their wedding and loves flowers. Not only loves flowers, but wants over-the-top flowers. And as my business started to change and I started doing more classes and workshops, you see about, I think it was about 2 years ago where that voice started changing. And now when I talk, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to my fellow florists, my fellow designers, because in building this luxury wedding brand and speaking to brides, I saw that I had a lot of questions. A lot of individuals were reaching out asking, how did you create this? Where did you get that? How do you keep your hydrangea alive? I still to this day get the, how do you keep your hydrangea alive? Would you say every day, Jordan? Almost daily I get this question. So I decided, given that my audience was asking different questions, then I would start speaking to that audience, which is the florist. So that's essentially kind of how my Instagram progressed. And let me go back to when I was speaking directly to the bride, because I think everyone here listening, they're looking to how you connect to that bride and groom. How do you connect to that client that wants what it is you're selling? And my biggest takeaway, if I can give everyone one thing, in fact, I wish I had realized this year one of Instagram. And that one thing to look at is being present on Instagram. If you want to build that as a place for your potential clients to look at your Instagram as your portfolio and your potential clients to reach out to you, you have to be there. And if you're just posting one picture a week or one picture a month and just showing a few occasional pretty things, that's not really being present. If you're going to use Instagram as your marketing source for your floral business, you really need to be present there on a daily basis. And even more than that, you need to have your face there. You need to have your personality there. The reality is people are making decisions. Brides and grooms, they are making flower buying decisions based on Instagram. Heck, they're making lots of decisions on Instagram. I know even before I go to a restaurant, we will look and see, okay, what's on Instagram? What looks good? What are people talking about? And our couples are no different. So they're looking at Instagram not only to see what your work is, but they want to see what people are saying about you. They want to see what your personality feels like. This is a great way to pre-sell our clients before they even get in the door. Because if a client looks at my feed, if my potential bride looks at my feed and they see that I am smiling and bubbling and excited, and they are more of a quiet, calm, doesn't want to talk very much kind of person, they're going to keep moving on because I'm not the personality that they're going to connect with. Mm. And that helps right there to weed out those clients that aren't your clients.
What I'm kind of gathering, sort of just like summarizing what we've talked about so far, your thought would be kind of like for people to post, like be present, like put content out there every day, step back, observe after you've had some time to just get some content out, notice what's resonating the most with clients, sort of hone it in, narrow it down, focus on that and then do more of that. Is that kind of like a good summary of kind of where we've come from, or tell me what I've missed or fill in any blanks?
I think it's a great summary. And I can even kind of break it down in a little bit more organized. So I know you had asked me a couple questions before about what works for growing your floral business. And I think that's a good thing to address when we're talking about Instagram. We are not just growing our Instagrams in order to, you know, have a pretty portfolio. It's more than that. We want to turn those Instagram followers and those Instagram commenters and likers into actual clients, into people who are actually going to email us, pick up the phone and call us and schedule an appointment or just straight up book your business, right? So in order to do that, in addition to posting beautiful photos and showing your personality, you have to ask for the business. And I think as florists, as a whole, sometimes we tend to be afraid to ask. And I am also in this. Like I don't like to ask for money. I don't like to ask for someone to hire me. But we're in business. And sometimes you do just have to put yourself out there and ask. So I recommend whenever I'm working with any of my mentoring clients or any of those clients that I'm working one-on-one with, I try to make sure that I am giving them the encouragement to put in their feed, you know, exactly what you're looking for. So if you have two dates in September open, it is completely okay to do a post that you're really excited about the weddings you have coming up, and you have two dates available in September, September 19th and September 29th. I totally pulled those dates out of the air. But ask for the business on the Instagram by saying what you have, what you're looking for. You know, I'll go so far sometimes when I'm posting to say, I have this dreamy idea. I want to build a dueling floral staircase covered with nothing but Lysianthus. And I'm looking for the bride who wants that for her wedding. So I'm describing what I want to do. I'm describing when I want to do it, looking for that specific client.
Financial support for the production of this podcast is brought to you by Team Flowers Bouquets and Personals online class. This comprehensive course includes over 6 hours of instruction designed to set you on your way creating beautiful, sturdy bouquets and all kinds of personal flowers with ease. Learn tried and true techniques for organic, tailored, and cascading garden-style bouquets. Discover tips for creating bridal hair accessories, corsages, and boutonnieres. Practice a wide variety of ribboning techniques. Don't forget about flower girls, ring bearers, and pets. This in-depth course covers timeless designs for them all. In addition to instructional videos, this class also includes comprehensive notes detailing stem counts, costs, and supplies for each piece. You'll finish this course fully equipped with everything you need to know to make stunning bouquets and personals that the modern bride will love. Ready to jump in? You can find all the information at teamflower.org/online.
That's so good. I think a lot of times we always say about like how, you know, show what it is that you want to do instead of actually like forecasting like the dream and saying it, you know, with words, what it is that you would like to try and would like to do, kind of sparking that imagination and that curiosity and the people who are following along. And I think it's exciting because they know that they're hiring somebody who is forward thinking instead of just showing past things. And I think that that's a really exciting tone to put out there, is that, you know, in the future kind of thing, like come with me into the future. That's exciting. I love that idea. Yeah, that concept is cool.
I think you just nailed it when you said forward thinking. I've never thought of it like that, but that absolutely is forward thinking. And isn't it great to work with someone that is passionate and excited, rather than someone that is going to say, you know, I've done this and I've done this,
right,
and I can do this
right
for you too.
Right.
That might be fine for the average client, but I'm not looking for average. I'm looking for extraordinary. So in order to get to that extraordinary, you have to ask for it. You know, you'd also ask me about what types of pictures that are going to be best. And I find that the best types of pictures to be showing on Instagram are of those wow factors. You know, it's easy to just show some pictures of a little bouquet or a accent piece or maybe a few candles, but they're not going to get as much attention as those things that are that just make you say wow. And then beyond pictures, videos are the key right now. And I have been on this videos for florists bandwagon for about the past 6 to 8 months now. The algorithms on Instagram, as you know, they're always changing and adjusting. And I try to study and keep track of them, but they move faster than I do. And the one thing that seems to have stuck over the past year is the increase to video exposure. So right now, if you're posting a picture, you're going to get about a tenth of the exposure as is your if you're going to post a video. So we're florists, right? We are working with flowers all the time. Flowers do so well on social media. I encourage everyone to get yourself a little tripod, set your cell phone up, and just record a time lapse, record a quick video as you're doing the work that you're going to do anyway. It does not take much more time to set your camera up and just record.
Yeah, it is. It's interesting. The algorithms do move very fast, but I think at the crux of them and why they're there and helpful is because they're wanting to connect relevant content to people who want to see it. And so the algorithms Yes. are not the enemy. They're actually really helpful. And if you can be thinking, kind of just have the mindset of an algorithm, like, okay, how can I make this the most relevant? I think that that's the kind of content that does really well, right? So that's Absolutely. Kind of, you know, you don't have to really, you know, it is helpful to get into the nitty gritty, but I think sometimes for me, at least, I tend to be like a very conceptual thinker. So if I can understand like, oh, the big goal is X, then, you know, I can make it interpreted and kind of figure out how to make it work for whatever my circumstances are at the time and all that kind of stuff. So it just with algorithms, they're not the enemy. They're really, really helpful. I think so. Okay. So
yeah, I think they are very helpful. Understanding that may be a big challenge, but the fact that we now have a program that will allow us to connect with the audience we're looking to connect with, that's something mm-hmm. we really didn't have before mm-hmm. social media became a thing. Advertising was just putting an ad out and then crossing your fingers. That's not a good way to spend mm-hmm. money.
Yeah, well, and ads just, they've become so incredibly specialized, which, you know, there's always, you know, there's the great thing about it and the bad thing about it. But the great thing about it is that it is making it possible to really hone in on specific targeted groups of people who have similar mindsets and similar aesthetics and things like that. So it is kind of connecting all of those similar pieces. We do, you know, as a flip side, unrelated, but we lack the diversity that we used to have a lot of exposure to. So it just kind of helps us the other flip side of it. But so what about, we talked about like what pictures to post, captions, really good, the algorithms. What about, are there just like a few do's and don'ts? Or can I, you want to circle back? Go for it. Yep.
Yeah. Can I circle back? Actually, let's talk about captions because I think I may have touched it, but I don't think I gave enough information on this. Captions are really, really key. So photos that are wow do well. Videos are going to rock your world. And the captions are really where you connect. So I don't want to call it an argument with someone. I had a discussion with a social media marketer that said to me that nobody is ever going to read your Instagram posts. Just focus on the pictures. And I didn't feel like that was true. And I tested this. And I got to tell you, people read. Mm-hmm. They're connecting with who you are when they're reading. And that photo may catch them. But it really is the words that allows you to build your brand. Now, when the algorithms first started changing, this was probably about 3 or 4 years ago, there wasn't business accounts at that time. So I had to just kind of figure it out without any analytics how I was going to reconnect with my audience. And I started doing these multi-part stories. I don't know if you've ever seen these on my feed. And I can give you a link that will link right to one of them so you can see what I'm talking about.
It's just
something
that
sometimes visually you have to see this. But what I started doing is I would take a story, one of the stories I would write in general, and then I would break it into 3 or 4 parts. And then each day or a couple times a day, I would share one of the parts of the story, almost like you were catching up on Netflix or you're reading a novel, going to the next chapter. And I did this because I wanted to give my audience a reason to come back to my feed, even if I didn't show up in their new algorithm. Mm-hmm. And this worked so well. Now, amazingly, I find I get the least number of likes on these stories, but I get the most number of exposure. And at the end of the day, I'm not searching for likes. I don't need someone to hit that heart in order for me to know that I'm good at my job. But what I do need is I need to impact as many people as I can with the words that I'm sharing. And these stories in multiple parts did exactly what I needed. And I continue to use them to this day.
Yeah, that's really great. I love that. That's a great tip. What other kind of do's and don'ts do you feel like that you might have related to social media and how to use it in business?
Okay, so we've talked about lots of do's. So can I just get right into the don'ts?
Yeah.
So first, don't feel bad if your spelling and your grammar isn't perfect. And to drive this home, I want you to go and read anything on my feed. Anything. I am a terrible speller and my grammar is terrible as well. I used to have someone come in. Literally, I paid someone to fix my spelling and grammar errors just so that I didn't look ridiculous. And then after a while, I realized that was truly who I am. I do make beautiful things. I don't spell well. And I'm also not an elementary school teacher. I'm a florist. And it's okay. So don't freak out. And don't let those fears of making a mistake hold you back. That is my biggest don't. My second don't is don't fill your feed with other people's images that do not represent where you are in your business right now. Because what's going to happen is no one is going to read the comment where you said this beautiful design belonged to somebody else. They're going to look at your feed as a whole. And they're going to believe that you are capable of that work. And if you're not at the place in your business yet where you can produce that work, then it is not the time to be filling your feed with those images. It also feels dishonest. So once a client realizes that, okay, that's not your work, they're then going to feel like you lied to them. And that sets up for just a disaster in the whole wedding process. So be honest and always be sharing your work. It's okay to occasionally share someone else's work when you are properly crediting them, but do not make that your entire feed and your entire platform.
Well, you're right. There is a disconnect. It just doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, I agree. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay. So how would you, if maybe somebody was doing that kind of with the idea that they were trying to build towards something, what would be another way that they could still do that, but not do that?
All right. So they want to build, I just want to make sure I understand your question. Mm-hmm. So we have someone who's relatively new to their Instagram feed or their business, mm-hmm. and they want to build into that luxury. They want to be able to show that without actually just reposting someone else's images. Mm-hmm. The greatest thing is there are so many workshops and classes to go to, and a number of them will provide you with a gallery of images. I know you have some incredible events and incredible workshops, and you have a photographer there. So those, by attending these events, you can get these professional images to share. Kelly, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty sure you do that as well, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to be saying information that wasn't true. Yeah. So you can get those portfolio images by attending those workshops and then be able to share real images of real work that you've done. The other thing, of course, is styled shoots. You know, I work a lot with styled shoots across America who do some incredible shoots. In fact, I think there is some gray area in styled shoots, whether they're a good investment or a bad investment. Mm-hmm. And my best advice for styled shoots is know who you're working with and trust who you're working with. So if anyone out there has any opportunity to work with Styled Shoots Across America, it really is an incredible platform and they are always phenomenal. And there's always multiple photographers. So anytime that I have an opportunity to work with them, I will design and I will invest sometimes $900, $1,500, $2,000 in the flowers to create these shoots just because I know I'm going to get the visuals that I need to help promoting my brand, to help promote my brand. My grammar is also terrible when I speak.
No. You are good. You're good. Yeah, we just had somebody on the podcast recently just talking specifically about styled shoots and going into kind of more details with that. And I think what struck me about, you know, very similar kind of sentiments about who you're working with and those types of things, but just the level of planning and care and purpose that went into doing it that made it worth the investment.
Yes.
And I think that that's the key, is that you can be a part of something that's kind of tossed together or that you haven't researched thoroughly and it can be a bad investment, or you can, you know, really, really dig into it. It can be a really great investment. So there's two ways to look at that. And I know some people have had good experiences and bad experiences. I think that's like a really defining piece of the styled shoot piece. And I think that's really great advice, because it is your work, and having pictures of your work is something that is, I think, really powerful with clients. Even if it's not, you should never not, if I can add a not, just don't post something because you don't feel like that it's perfect yet. You know,
right.
I think
right.
just the consistency is going to get you a lot further than perfection ever will. And so many people are so much less sensitive to what they think is beautiful and that kind of thing. So don't let that stop you at all. You can build a business and keep things moving along into wherever it is that your end goal is, just one step at a time, one picture at a time, one trial, one experiment, one wedding at a time. It all compounds to get you where you need to go. It doesn't happen overnight, for sure.
Mm. You know, the best advice I was ever given, and I don't know who said this, and I'm sure I'm quoting somebody, the best advice I was ever given was, done is better than perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And that has stayed with me my entire business, because there's so many times that I'm like, oh, I know this website doesn't look just right. Like, I need to spend more time on it. My Instagram doesn't look pretty enough. But just post it. You can always change it later.
Mm-hmm.
You can always make it better later.
Mm-hmm.
But just get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're talking consistency. Everyone listening, like, if you are not posting every day, just set an alarm on your phone and actually make a time to post every single day. There are apps you can use that will help with this posting. Personally, I don't use them for my feed, just because I like to make sure I'm connecting and watching my analytics every single day. But if you're not in a place where you want to watch your analytics every day, it is so great to be using some of these apps that will help you to plan it out and post these images for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Once you get into a place where you kind of have established some patterns and you see things that are happening, you know, that can be really helpful for somebody like me who does not like to look at analytics every day. so funny. Yeah. We all need each other. I need you, Sarah. I need you to look at the analytics every day. Oh, so funny. Oh, well, it has been so fun to have you here today. Before we wrap up this episode, I'm just going to pass the microphone back over to you. Anything that you would like to say to your fellow flower lovers? And also, sorry, I will just mention too, tell us in that also where we can connect with you off the podcast. I know that you have a lot of resources for people who are looking to dive deeper into Instagram, and I'd love for them to know how to connect with you and kind of carry the conversation forward.
Sure. So we can be found at Intrigue Teaches. It's intrigueteaches.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We've got a great group that is always talking and helping and encouraging, a very positive flower-focused group. It is the Intrigue Teaches Wedding Community. And most of what we discuss there is all wedding-related. We are working on a course, which we should have out shortly, that is going to teach you, in fact, I think it might be out now, that's going to teach you the details of exactly what it is I do on a regular and daily basis to build and connect, and not only build and connect with my Instagram audience, but turn that Instagram audience into real, actual business. Because again, like I said in the beginning, if we're not booking real business, if Instagram is not bringing us actual clients and actual weddings, mm-hmm. then why are we doing mm-hmm. this? It's a lot of work if it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to teach everyone how to use this as a real marketing resource.
Mm, I love that. So good. All right. And then just any words of wisdom or encouragement that you might like to leave us with before we sign off?
Oh, words of wisdom. Gosh.
I know. Just reach down in there. Pick one out.
You know what? I think we talked a little bit about leaping.
Mm.
And this is something that I have done consistently through my life, is I am a leap before you look kind of person. And even though I say that I'm a leap before I look, I also am one that studies and organizes and prepares. So I want to adjust that, take big leaps without looking. I want everyone to look towards their goal. Because I may not look to see what dangers may lie between where I am now and where I want to go, but I definitely do look towards where I want to be. So find that point, find that goal, make the leap towards your what you want to build with your Instagram, what you want to build your business, and don't worry about what's underneath because you're going to jump right on over it to get to that goal.
I sort of imagine you with, you know, those like awesome moon shoes in the 90s and how they had like the springs in the bottom. Like I just sort of see you in your like dress with your apron and you're like going along in the daisy field and you're just like leaping.
And then all of a sudden
there's a huge cliff, you jump into it, but you pop right back out because you have these special magic shoes and it's like your mindset, you know? And you're out of the cliff and you're on your way again, you know?
I love it, Kelly. I will never actually be able to think of you ever again without correlating you and me and moon shoes jumping out of cliffs.
Yeah, let's do it. let's just get some of those and hop along together. That's so fun.
That sounds great.
So good.
Well, thank you so much. This is fun.
Oh, very, very fun. So great to have you here. And for all of you that are out there listening, we invite you to put on the moon shoes and come with us into the daisy field while while we move along in our life and business. It's really important that we all move forward because we're all working towards that common goal of loving the world through flowers. And whenever we all work together, it is amazing what we can accomplish as a team. So as we sign off today, I just want to give everybody a high five and a go team. And we will be back next Thursday with another podcast for you and looking forward to seeing you then.
If you enjoyed today's episode of the Team Flower Podcast, would you help us by leaving a rating and review? The more ratings and reviews, the easier it is for other flower lovers to find the podcast. Thanks for being a part of Team Flower and helping us build this dream together. We're so grateful.